Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can't get much worse in a second. Oh. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on.
Theme song for our today's show here on the Contending for Truth Radio, the Free Don Miller Show that we do takes place in Wisconsin, and that song was done by D Rock and performed a great patriot, and he's allowed us to use that. So I thought I'd throw it in tonight and use it for our entrance, because this is really the concept we're thinking about tonight, is keeping on, keeping on. We're going to fight this battle that we're going to discuss tonight. You know, Contending for Truth Radio was designed so that we could express our free speech. So this is my free speech here. And we're going to throw this free speech around in a roundtable discussion. We're going to from Montrose, from Alabama, and Stacey Tawbush from Alabama, and Jennifer Gallegos, Oregon, and I'm going to, I think you're up in Colorado. I got to remember. I should have looked that up. Wasn't thinking about calling out states. We're going to have an awesome, awesome discussion tonight. I feel it. This is the first of the Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. This is our first, very first episode. We've got a great, great first special guest. We did this a couple of weeks ago on politics and religion. Don't tell me I can't mix them, our Monday show. And I really had it in mind when we did it that hopefully it was going to turn into this, a weekly discussion about parental sovereignty and Common Core and C-Scope and the many other ways that government is trying to encroach our liberty and our freedom to raise our children as we would like, to teach what we want, and to give the local parents control over what's going on in their schools, to not have to worry about using the children as a way to advertise and make money and learn things in a cool way. This show, each week, is going to be a roundtable discussion. We're going to have guests on that are doing different activities around the country, different activists for different acts, different groups that are fighting this fight. Folks, we got to get up and we got to fight this one. Because if we lose this one, we always lose the battle. History tells us that. History tells us when we lose the minds of our kids and we don't have control of that, we fall back in the bondage. And so that's what this is going to be about. I'm going to take and leave the East tonight. I'm going to back off a little bit from what I normally do and try and just listen. I want this to be a roundtable discussion. I'm going to cut some important things. We're going to kill them. Kara's got an incredible story. Incredible story. And it's an incredible story because she was paying attention to her son's curriculum. She was paying attention to what was in school, what was going on. You see, it's the elephant in the room. First thing we got to do with this country, with great nation, is get parents to start paying attention to what's going on in the classroom again. Once we do, we will win the battle. We win this battle. We're going to look at curriculum and what's being taught in the school. Carl was paying attention and she looked at her son's curriculum and some of what was going on. He went up to take his pencil writing on and reading what was going into his mind. And she picked up, she said, wait a minute, this is not right. He acted on it. And in this great day and age, it went viral. That's rocking. It went viral. So we're going to take and show, we're going to introduce Kara. I'm going to let her tell her story. I'm going to let her tell the link in the chat room. We'll pass them on the pages. Jennifer Montrose and Dave from Alabama. Alabama is rocking. Before we get started, I'm the mic over to Jennifer Montrose for just a couple of minutes and let her talk about yesterday in Alabama, the tax rally, and the excitement that's going on in Alabama. I keep saying Alabama's rocking. I see Alabama leading this out of this mess. Jennifer's seen that for a long time. And you guys are rocking down there. It's a great thing. Jennifer, tell it. And I'm going to start. I got to get back over here and unmute everybody. Start unmuting. And then, Jennifer, go ahead and let us know about yesterday, and then we'll jump over to Kara, and we'll introduce you, let you tell your story, and then we'll start our roundtable discussion up and just discuss the facts of the day. Jennifer.
Hi. I want to say that it was a great day yesterday in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We had a Tax Day Tea Party rally. We had Ken Crow, who's the co-founder of TeaPartyCommunity.com. We had Jan Morgan with JanMorganMedia.com. We had JonathanBarbie.com as well, who streamed the event live. And I will tell you, we had another organization, another company that was going to stream it live for us, was going to donate their services. They backed out at the last minute. Jonathan Barbie has his own production company, but he also happens to be the press secretary for the Alabama GOP. He stepped in, and let me tell you, that guy rocked it. He rocked it well. And we were able to have this streaming over three different websites nationally so that people could hear what we had to say. I will tell you that one of the things that we're doing here in Alabama is we are working hard to shut down Common Core. You know, and we talked about those things. You know, and the other thing that was really neat is we had a group called Bama Open Carry that was represented there yesterday. We're an open carry state. So when it comes to exercising our Second Amendment rights and our right to bear arms, you know, we knew because we had people that were out there at that rally, open carry, that we didn't have to deal with some of the mess that may come from some other, you know, events. But, I wanted to say we did take the time out to say a prayer and a moment of silence for what happened at the Boston Marathon yesterday. And I was real, real sad to hear about that. It's just was a sad time in our nation for that. And my heartfelt prayers go out to all those that were hurt, and I know that we had a life that was lost today that didn't quite make it through. So, but, you know, the thing is that we talked about yesterday was we wanted to see that our nation does not get taken over or controlled by big government. And we have a group of people around this United States that are so eager to want to get out of their seats and go do some things to make a difference. And that I'm just proud to be an American. We had an opportunity to really, really reach out. And I was talking with Jonathan Barbie yesterday evening, and he said he wants to collaborate and do some things for the nation and join forces with those of us. We've got Lois Zina. He was leading the way as president of the Women's Republican Federation, and she is doing so many things in the state of Alabama. We've got Lisa Harris, who is another one leading the way, and it's just fabulous the things that we're seeing Alabama do right now. K. Carl Smith has brought up, he's the founder of the Frederick Douglass Republican Movement, tells me today that they're looking at putting in Frederick Douglass Charter School here in Alabama, and they've already got the curriculum set up for this. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. But, you know, we need to have a solution. If we say this Common Core is the problem and we're going to get rid of it, then what's the option to that? What do we do in place of that? So we have some ideas in place I think that people will be excited to hear about. And with that, I will turn it over to Jennifer.
All right, guys. I am back, and I hope I am sounding better. I understand. I tried logging in with Skype on this thing, and it doesn't work real well. I'm better off with the cell. It just takes a lot of minutes doing a lot of Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, exactly, Jennifer, and I got the bulk of what you said, and you really tied it all together. I appreciate that. Cara, I'm going to hand it over to you, and I want to just get kind of where you come from, a little bit about your background, some of the work you do. I know that you're more than just a mom who found some really, really important homework and tests and got that out there so that people could see it. You're an activist. You help people giving advice and consulting. You're working hard behind the scenes, what I like to say, in the trenches. So I want you to take some time and just tell us what you've been doing, what you are doing. If there's anything you need to plug, any websites or anything, go ahead and let's get that all out on the table, and then we're going to go to discussing some Common Core.
All right. Well, hi. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you letting me come on with this group of wonderful women and activists and you. I am politically active. I have been for years. I'm with the Republican Party, and I sit on different boards like Republican Women and Republican Club. And I've got to tell you, working on this, getting into our education, I am just disappointed with my party. I have not taken on an issue. It's more like I consult with candidates and I get people elected. And it's always people that I believe in. And I work hard for them. But I'm an activist, I guess. But this, working in this and getting in and taking an issue in education, you know, my regret is that I haven't paid more attention to this, that I've been so busy getting people elected, I haven't been paying attention to what's going on in our schools. And these are my kids' schools. I mistakenly thought that because we're in Texas, that, and I'm in a conservative district, that everything's fine. And I have this litmus test of, you know, like my check off the boxes of, yes, we say the pledge, and we have Christmas parties and Easter egg hunts. And so I just assumed everything was fine. I think we're now getting into this and looking, seeing what's going on in Texas and going now more, and I'm at the Capitol a lot lately on the legislative side. I'm just not, with my party, I'm just disappointed with what's going on and how it's being handled. Except the Senate, they passed a bill in the Senate, and our Lieutenant Governor, David Dewhurst, was this like the silent warrior behind that. He worked behind the scenes. They didn't think it was going to pass the Senate, and he worked behind the scenes to get that done, for Senator Dan Patrick, to get this bill. And now on the House side is where we're having problems. We have a Steve Toth's bill, which is House Bill 760. That's also a C-SCOPE bill. It's a companion bill to Senator Dan Patrick's bill. It's to put C-SCOPE under our State Board of Education. The chairman of the Public Ed Committee, he's a Republican, and he's kind of dilly-dallying around. And there's several other Republicans on this committee, and they don't want to touch it. So I'm seeing up close all the cronyism going on with, like, the superintendents and the administration and how all of that works. That's ridiculous. What? Sorry?
It's 17 after 9. You need to be in the bed. You need to go get a shower.
Oh, mom's being mom. But that's... So that's where I am right now, is I'm trying to, you know, and I'm just going up there as a mom. I've taken off my Republican hat because it's not about that. It's just me going up there for my kids because, as you know what, if I am not going to stand up for my kids, then what kind of mom am I? Like, it's ridiculous. So I'm just going as a mom, taking my kids' work, and I haven't aligned myself with any organizations, and I don't want to because I think it's better just for me and for this is just to go up there as a mom and as a Texan. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, hey, you know what? Well, you hit a lot of very important things. But one of the biggest things is we try to bring these to our different electors. The response on either side is sometimes very, very much tied up in, I believe, in the money. And
oh, absolutely.
So I believe our the only way we're going to win this, and I believe this is the pattern in the history of man, this is the newsy story. The only way we're going to win this is we've got to get the parents across this country knowing what's going on. Once we do,
right,
the pressure will be there for the pressure for never winning in office again can be huge, but we've got to do it. I'm going to send it around. The round table, we'll just start with Jenny Gallegos in Oregon, and then we'll pass it on to Stacy, on down to Jennifer Montrose, back to you, Connor.
Yes.
And I'm going to stay out of the room. I'm actually going to sit back, and I just want to listen to you guys do it. If there's any moderation, you guys just play with it. I just want to sit back and listen to you guys have a great conversation about the curriculum and about these things. You know, there's some of us that are involved in this that don't know a whole lot about Common Core. I've done a little bit. I've had Orlean Coley on one of my shows. I've investigated a little bit. But there are a lot of very, very well-versed experts in what's going on in Common Core. And we're going to kind of mix that with, like, Jenny. This is brand new to her, too. Jennifer Montrose and Stacy, a little bit more down the line. And the purpose of this roundtable discussion is to pretend we're sitting in the living room on the couch, everybody just having a discussion. And I'm going to let you ladies just take it away because I think that's what's going to make a great show. And I will pop in at the end when you guys are done and give us some closing remarks.
One thing I do wanted to say, though, one more time before I pass it back to you, Cara, and then we'll start the roundtable. Thank you so much for what you're doing. This is important. I've got three nieces. I'm a parent to them. I'm the uncle. And I've been in their lives for 10 years very, very closely raising them. One's 4, one's 7, and one's 11. And their future is on my mind 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never goes away. I'm afraid for their future. I'm afraid for what the churches are going to look like. I'm afraid for what the judicial system's going to look like. I'm afraid what our government's going to look like, what our economy's going to look like. And I'm really afraid of what our schools are going to look like. And we've got to get on this one. We got to get in the trenches. And I just want to tell you, Cara, you rock. You found a really important piece of the puzzle, and you got it out to a lot of people using the tools and the networking that we know how to do it. And if when we get the whole entire set of parents doing exactly the same thing, getting out there and getting start us wherever you really want on a topic about the curriculum and go into some of the curriculum that what you found so far in your experience and what we know is out there, and I'm going to let you guys just take the conversation and run with it.
Okay. Great. Is it back to me? That's Cara?
Yeah, Cara.
Hi,
go ahead and start us off.
Okay. What brought my attention to what was going on was a test that my son brought home. And I go through his work, and they don't use books any longer. They just bring home worksheets. My son's in fifth grade. He was 10 at the time. And there's this program out there called Safari Montage. And what this is that they have a ton of movies or little films. And the school contracts it out, and so they get the rights to show these films, and there's a test that accompanies these films. So the test that my son brought home was called Remembering September 11th. And on the third question was, why might the United States have done to be a target for terrorism? And the answer, it was multiple choice, but the correct answer was people were upset with the decisions, or the United States has made some decisions that upset people. Basically, it blamed the United States. Now, I have gotten a lot of feedback and, you just don't know history, and they bring up blowback or whatever. But what you have to understand is that it never went into decisions that were made. It never listed those decisions. It never listed anything. And just so y'all know, I don't think it was our fault. It wasn't our fault. I'm not going to justify terrorist actions for anything. So I don't care if people think we meddled, and that's not the point. Well, I asked my son, well, why did you answer this way? And he said, oh, Mom, I know that terrorists are evil and that they hate everyone, but I wanted to get 100. And that's what they said in the movie, in the film. So I went to the teacher, met with her, met with the principal. They showed me the video, and the video was worse. It talked about how the United States is so big and powerful, and many people around the world don't believe that we use our power in the right way. It was just bad. So I wanted it to come down, and I said, you're blaming the United States. This doesn't need to be up here. These are 10-year-olds. This is ridiculous. And they weren't going to do anything about it, so I went to the administration. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think one reason why parents don't speak up is because they are nasty rude when you go down to meet with the administration. They're just not very nice. So I met with them, and the first thing this one woman works down in the curriculum department said it was true, so she didn't see the problem with it. And then she said she could not justify taking down the film for one person or for one parent. So that's when I just decided, well, you know what, I will put this on Facebook and I'll see if other parents agree with me. So really it was just for my friends or my Facebook friends that our kids go to the same school. So that's how it started. But during the conversation, they came out and told me that was a C-Scope supplement material. And remember, at the time, I had no idea our school used C-Scope. I had heard a little bit about it, and I knew that there was a bill for it, but I just thought, we don't have C-Scope. That's awful. We don't do that. So that's why that opened the door to C-Scope for me. And a lot of what I'm finding is just an attack on our oil and gas industry, and, you know, in Texas, of all places, that it just demonizes the oil and gas, and, you know, calls natural gas a pollutant. My kids told me that I was, every time I got gas, I was poisoning the planet. So they're creating this, just this discord. So that's really what is. The thing is, what I am concerned about is just the attack on our oil and gas and our ranchers and farmers through Seascope material. And that's going to, you know what, and that's going to kill our industry. Because if you look at the future, if you're turning people against our livelihood, so you just keep on at these kids that it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, and then they'll show these films of, you know what, kids, you can change your parents' mind. It's up to you to save the planet. It's awful. So that's what we're trying to do. So I've gone to a lot of the oil and gas industries. That's also who I'm going to. The agriculture industry, the Farm Bureau. And I'm saying, look, this is what's going on in our schools because it affects all of us. So that's my next step is what I've been doing is I'm meeting with a lot of those folks as well. And there's also with Seascope, there's zero transparency. Like parents, we couldn't see the lessons, and they have agreed to put lessons up. They're supposed to release all the lessons. I believe there's 40 or 50 lessons that they put. So just, you know, kind of, yeah, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Here's 40 or 50 lessons. But they have 1,600, and they won't release those. So there's no transparency there. And there's no checks and balances and no accountability. Because who do you go to?
Hey, this is Stacy. Do you mind if I jump in for a second?
No, I'm waiting for someone to jump in. I'm
just trying to... I'm sorry. I didn't want to break your train of thought, but I wanted to jump in on transparency because I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday because in Alabama they've implemented the language and math parts of Common Core. Well, with the math, there's no longer a math textbook. So parents need to look at a textbook to help their kids learn. The kids are still on worksheets or workbooks, and they're, like you said, there's no transparency. So I am helpless and actually had to go sit down with the teacher, and she had to print me out her pages so that I could help my daughter learn math. And I'm afraid of potential studies. Because I'm afraid of what the history is going to look like when they implement it next year.
That's, you know what, that's a lot of what's been going on also with Seascope. Because we don't have Common Core, like Governor Perry rejected Common Core. So they came in with Seascope and it's basically Texas's Common Core. And you're right about the math. Then also the way they teach them the formulas to solving these problems are just crazy. I've never seen anything like it, and they have to do it the exact same way.
Not denied Common Core in Texas because it's the exact same thing. And second grade, my daughter has a problem that's like Y plus 14 equals 36, solve using pictures.
Ridiculous, yes.
And I am going that you. I don't know how to do that because it's easy unless you try to make me draw pictures to do it. But she's not given a textbook where normally I could go back and look at how she was taught it. So the parent is left helpless in teaching the child. The child gets frustrated, stops wanting to learn, and everybody eventually, I guess, is just going to throw their hands up and give up. I guess is what.
Let me ask, because I'm not familiar with Common Core. Do they work in groups a lot? That's what I'm finding with my kids. They work in groups. They don't work by themselves. It's all a group. It's a group effort. And if someone in the group isn't performing, the other ones just have to pick up the slack because you have to help each other out. And my kids are so frustrated with their partners, with their group partners, but it's all group work.
I'm not sure if there's a lot of it's very strange. I've heard a little bit of that, but I'm not sure if there's that. My oldest is in second grade, so I can't quite get them to tell me what it is they do in school. I've even had, because we do 2 hours of homework every night at 7 years old, trying to reinforce all this stuff. And I go to the teacher, and I'm like, okay, well, what are you doing? And I'm asking my daughter, well, what are you doing? And they read for like 4 hours during the day. And I'm like, and then so they've got reading coaches coming in and telling the teachers how to teach. And the reading coach says, no, you need to stop teaching spelling words, and y'all need to spend that time reading in reading groups. So
it's so frustrating as a parent, and I know that you've probably heard this, and I hear the thought, well, just put them in homeschool or put them in private school or do this. You know, I just feel led that, and I'm so frustrated, and I'm like, yeah, I just want to go, oh, yes, finally, because it's getting out of control. But, you know, if everyone who does pay attention, if we all left the public schools, like, who's going to, I don't know, be the watchdog? Or I'm not, you know, I don't want to say that I'm the watchdog of public school, but who's going to be there to help?
No, I totally understand what you're saying, because it's the same thing as saying, oh, your country's going to crap, we'll move somewhere else. Well, who's going to stay in place?
Right.
But you have people like me. I'm a single mom. I have 3 kids. I'm a college student, and I filed $25,000 on my taxes last year. I don't have the option to stay home. Private school is way out of the question. So public school is what I've got. I'm living in a home that I can afford. I can't move to a better school system. But then you also have the issue of private school and homeschools are getting hit with these Common Core testing anyways, so there is nowhere to run, even if you wanted to do that. So you might as well stay in public school and fight.
So you're absolutely right.
I homeschool my 3 kids, and I'm concerned about when they go for their assessment testing. In Oregon, it's 3rd, 5th, 8th, and 11th grade. And I have a 3rd grader, my youngest son, and I'm concerned about what they're going to encounter on the test, because I am not going to be teaching what Common Core wants me to be teaching, because I think the standards, and they're not going to learn anything. I can give them a much better education having Common Core standards. And so, you know, as a homeschooler, I'm standing up and I'm fighting, because it's going to affect us. It's going to affect everybody. There's nowhere to run. We just have to stand up and fight.
Right, right. Well, and even if you do homeschool your kids, you're still living in society.
Exactly. And I care about the other kids around me, too.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. And I care about the other kids around me. You know, I do daycare, and I have a daycare boy that goes to a public school near me, and I don't want him growing up in that either. You know, it's all about indoctrination rather than education.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. My son had a C-Scope page. And, you know, they print, we talked about this, the worksheets, and one of them was the Bill of Rights. And they had we were learning the Bill of Rights. And he had put basic rights. And I've got to say, my son is passing with flying colors indoctrination. He is an expert at this, because he gets all these great grades on these papers. But on the Bill of Rights, he had put one of the options was basic needs, and he had put it in it was a T-chart, and he had put it under my responsibility, and he got it wrong, because according to C-Scope, it should have been in right, your basic needs. So I asked him, I said, how did they teach you, what did they tell you, what are your basic needs? And he said, food, water, shelter, medicine. I said, medicine? He goes, yeah, if someone's sick, we have to give them medicine. We can't just let them die. You have to have medicine. Well, again, let me just go in there with these kids and plug in Obamacare, and everyone deserves that, and medicine is right. Well, I complained, and they changed it. They changed the lesson, which they at C-Scope, folks at C-Scope, think that's great. It's a selling point for them. But I asked them, I said, how did you come up with the decision? I'm glad you changed it, but who decided that? Is there a panel? Do you have to? I mean, how do you do this? No. Went in and changed it. So they can go in and change anything at will. That's alarming.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they went and I said, is it across the state? Is it with only this ESC? How is it? Because I was running the computer and changed it. Couldn't give me answers.
It's whatever fits their agenda.
Absolutely. Oh, this mom, she's a bit mouthy. She's a little loud. Let's go and fix this paper.
Let's set her up.
Oh yes. And I was going to say earlier that I think that's why, or I did, that it's tough for parents. Because I got a call from the superintendent when I posted that test on Facebook, and she asked me, she told me to take it down because I was causing trouble. I said, good, I hope I'm causing trouble. And then she nicely reminded me that my children were transfers, and I didn't have to keep them there. And my transfer was up for renewal.
She threatened you? Wow.
No. She just gave me a
You know you're hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah, a friendly reminder. And I said, you know what? You have just encouraged me to keep going. Why are you protecting that?
And I thought,
are you kidding me? You're going to bully me? What? This isn't going to work. This is going to have a bad outcome for you. I promise.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be the biggest.
Not the other way around.
I'd like to know why. What's your opinion on why the superintendent and the principals are acting that way? I understand why the federal government wants it that way, but how do you think it reached so deep into our schools that we assumed for so long we're conservative?
Well, I do.
They're scared.
You know what? It is. It is a big monopoly when it gets in Texas. I'm going to assume it's other places as well, because when I testified at the Senate hearing, there were nothing but superintendents there, all saying the same thing. And, in fact, Senator Patrick said, okay, I get the talking points. I get it. You're just so yard talking points, all of them. And they were just, some of them, they were very defensive. C-scope. Now, my understanding, and, again, this is opening my eyes to so much that's wrong in our education system, and I'm just horrified at what I'm finding. But with the superintendents now – when C-Scope, when it was sold to them, I think some of it's ego. I think a lot of it's ego and a lot of it's pride, and they don't want to come out and say, yeah, we made a mistake, which that's all that – what I don't think they get is if you come out and say, yeah, you know what, we did this. We got a bad product. We're sorry. We can forgive that and move on and get it out of our school. So I think some of it's ego. I think some of it's pride, money. You know, C-Scope is being investigated right now by the Attorney General, by Greg Abbott. Because they're just shady business practices.
That's happening in Alabama too a lot.
Right.
This wasn't passed by our legislators. It was actually passed by our school board. And there are members of our school board who are GOP but are receiving campaign funds from the business union.
That's the school board, like my school board. At our last school board meeting, they all provide, I'm a patriot and I'm conservative. Well, you're keeping this in here. You know what they voted on? They voted to allow themselves access to C-Scope. Now, mind you, it's been in our school for 5 years. That's very Nancy Pelosi of you of let's pass the bill. We need to pass the bill so we can see what's in it. So you passed this for 5 years. Every year you vote, it's been implemented and you've never looked at it. Fantastic. But, again, they don't. But school boards, they've lost a lot of their power as well, and they rely on the superintendent. And, you know, there are teachers that they teach, and all they're doing is they're not going to stay in the classroom. They're going to go up the chain. They're going to one day be a principal, and they're going to one day – I mean, their goal is to be superintendent or to go work at the educational service center because that's where the big money is. So you just have teachers that are going to be quiet because they want to get out of the classroom. They want to get in the administration. And then once you're there, it's a tight-knit group, and they look out for each other, and they are going to protect this because they all, it's their bread and butter.
You know,
so
I think...
it's all money, and it's power, and it's, you know, these are my kids.
Okay? Yeah. Exactly. I think the teachers also have been sold a crap sandwich. By the superintendents who are getting the money. I have a lot of friends who are teachers, and it's always kind of a touchy subject when I'm at the ballpark and stuff. And I got the courage to talk to one of them about it the other day. And she was, excuse me, she was saying something, and I said, well, do y'all have Common Core in eighth grade? And she said, yeah, and it's just fabulous. And I looked at her, and I mean, I almost went a little bit crazy, but then I was like, well, let me find out why she thinks that. And she started talking about technical schools, talking about, well, no longer are they teaching kids to go to college. They're realistic in knowing that kids aren't wanting to go to college, that they need to be ready for a real job. And she was like, and I'm all about some technical school, and so I enjoy teaching kids that aren't so smart how to get ready for technical school. And the other kids, you know, that want to go to college can go to college, but these kids will be ready when they get out. And from what I'm seeing, I'm not sure one kid's going to be ready for, you know, McDonald's from what they're learning. I don't think with this math they could work a cash register, much less go into, like, mechanics.
Right.
I think it's flawed logic, but it's the way that, I guess, the education hands are telling them how to learn it or coming from a superintendent.
Well, if you're getting kids ready for technical school, that makes zero sense. Because if you're getting them ready for technical school, then you would put those types of classes in there. Like, you would put back shop and mechanics. And I don't know if they y'all had that in there. But in Texas, that used to be a big part of Texas, that they had these.
We do. We already have those things. In high school, you can take half the day to go to cosmetology school. When you graduate from high school, you're a cosmetologist. That's already there. They've just taken it to where they're not going to teach our kids to be ready for college anymore, and some of them are proud of it, and it's disgusting.
No, they're teaching our kids how to be ready for a global workforce, to be future cogs in the wheel, yeah, in the machine.
Absolutely. And we know when they say that, global. I still don't get that.
It's international. Common Core is trending us towards, not trending, it's pushing us towards becoming a part of the global aspects of, you know, the new world order, whatever you want to call it. That's the end goal of Common Core. They state it very plainly in all of their documents. They are creating global citizens, even from kindergarten upwards.
But right. And I know that. But, you know, but when they use those talking points and you have a superintendent or you have a principal that says, oh, we're getting them ready for the global economy, just ask them, what does that mean?
Right.
We all know what that means. But that's just a talking point. They won't be able to answer you. It's very funny. I do it just for fun sometimes. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And they can't answer you. When you push them, well, what do you mean by that? They don't have an answer. They're like, well, economy, what do you think? Well, what do you mean? Like, they're going to go work abroad? What do you mean? What does that mean? So I love it when they say we're global. No, my children, they're Texans. We're Americans. We're not global citizens.
That's right. That's right. Mine too. They're not Texan, but we're American.
Right. So, I would ask my superintendent, or ask your principal, say, well, they don't need to be global citizens. I'm sorry. And so I'm glad you got the courage to ask. I think more parents just need to stand up. Don't be scared of these people.
Yeah, well, what's so bad about being American? You know, why do we have to be turning our kids into global citizens? I think being an American citizen is just fine. My husband went through the naturalization process, and it was an amazing thing for our family. And the kids really, they got to see the whole process and see what goes into it, and it made them even prouder to be Americans. So I think we should be able to be proud Americans rather than proud global citizens.
Oh, I agree. That's insulting to be called a global citizen. I think that's an insult to me. Absolutely. Yeah, I am blessed, and I'm very happy to be an American, and I'm very proud of that. And my children are very proud of that, and if I would be very upset. I think calling me a global citizen is kind of fighting words or something. I don't know.
Well, I just have to amen that, you know, that's huge. And I'm a firm believer if we'll bring the basics to the American people on this, they will understand it. And that's one of the huge basics. That's one of the elephants in the room. Is that the purpose of this, we can leave what the curriculum is out. They'll try and get us on, well, it's going to be this and that and that. The purpose of the system itself is to give the power of the curriculum up to a top high pinnacle that is global.
And when you do that, you know, it would be great if that system worked, where we could trust a one group or one body in the world to provide a great curriculum that worked, that great made and built great nations all the way down. But we know that's not what's going to happen. We know that once it gets built like that, then the people at the top are going to do agenda-driven.
Right.
When you bring the control of the
power
curriculum...
Power corrupts, absolutely.
When you bring the control of the curriculum back down to the level of the parent and the local level, they can't get away with that. The same concept is with the tax code. They got that 80,000-page tax code, and they're able to keep a lot of stuff non-transparent because of that. To where if you dwindle that down to a very, very simple tax code, they can't hide stuff. The same concept is going on here. The higher up we get, the less transparency we get, the less control by we the people we get. And I believe that's got to be one of our big elephants in the room when we approach either a school board, a teacher, a parent, a legislature, that, you know, this is about big, small government here. And it would be great. It really would be great if it worked. But we have zero examples of government accomplishing anything on a big scale without having major, major waste, major, major fraud, major, major problems in it. And so I just have to jump in there and amen on that, because you guys are having a great discussion. I want to turn it towards what's going on in the individual states a little bit. Kara, I want to send it to Jenna from Montrose first, because I don't hear her talking. She's not poking her nose in there. And if anybody else is, just keep poking your nose in there. I want to talk about what's going on in the states. What kind of organizations are we putting together? You know, this has happened very, very rapidly. There was very little about Common Core a few months ago when we had Orlean Coley on Conservatives Coast to Coast in the week I was first discovering this. Since then, a whole lot of people know about it. Michelle Malkin's on this, Glenn Beck's on this. There's different groups, large groups that are on this. We're going to start watching the parents organize. We need a giant PTA, and one that's effective. What's going on in the states? Jennifer, what do you know about what's going on? And then pass it on to Stacy, on back up to Jenny Gallegos. And then, Cara, if you'll end that part of the roundtable discussion on what's going on right around you and the activism, especially, that you're involved in. So, Jennifer?
Yes. I want to say that we are tomorrow at the State House. We've got the bill that's coming up on the floor for Common Core, and there is going to be many, 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 many people that are going to be there to support the repeal of Common Core. I know that Valerie Askew, who's the State Director for Concerned Women for America, over 6,000 members strong in Alabama, and they are fighting this thing hard. We've got the Rainy Day Patriots, rainydaypatriots.org. They are also very much involved with this. We've got the Women Republican Federation, Lois Zina, Lisa Harris, and various other people that have been involved. The main thing that we're finding is that people are not being told the truth. You've got some teachers out there that are being fed garbage. They're being themselves hoodwinked into believing that this is what it is. This is the best thing for our children. But we're also finding there are some teachers who do know the truth, but when they start talking out about it, then they become at risk of losing their jobs. We have others that are saying that, you know, if the school doesn't buy into what they're telling us we have to do, then they lose funding. And so it's like a so it's just like a catch-22 to some. And we're saying no more Common Core. We are not going to put up with this. We as parents, because we know, even with the homeschoolers, homeschoolers can teach, you know, the way they choose to at home, but when you get ready to take that college testing, it's a whole new ballgame. And so we're saying at this point, you know, that we've got to agitate and let these people know. Now, one of the things that we're going to be also working on in 2014 is making sure that we have the proper people that are going to support conservative values when we are bringing people up to be nominated for school board offices and that sort of thing. And so if you are not following in line with the conservative values, respect for life, respect for the Constitution, belief in personal responsibility, belief in limited government, then we're going to do all that we can to fight to make sure that we put the people that do stand for those things in office. And I can tell you right now that I am not wanting to – the things that they're doing and finding out about, you know, just all the data that they're getting from this stuff that they're doing with Common Core, it's an invasion of privacy. And it all goes back to the Agenda 21 issues that we're dealing with and fighting so hard for in Alabama as well. And I will tell you, we've got people like Jonathan Barbie, who is he is out there fighting this cause because being press secretary for the GOP and also with his production company that he has, he is out there getting all the facts about this Common Core issue. And he is putting it out there, and he's making sure that the facts are being told. We've got people getting on talk radio in the state that is really doing a lot to try to really educate. So, so I will tell you that, you know, Michael Hart, they have done a lot to bring on experts in the issue, and that is just, you know, we've got to educate. We've got to educate.
That's right. Stacey?
Sorry about that. I thought I hit my mute button like four times before it finally worked. It's hard to follow Jennifer Montrose, so I'm going to do the best I can. I got really frustrated today because I was reading a blog from an article written by establishment here in Alabama, and it kind of mocked the anti-Common Core group, and it kind of poked fun at how inexperienced we were at our lobbying, basically. And I've gotten really fired up just in the fact that if there's anybody who knows the awfulness of Common Core, it's us parents who are living it every night by helping our kids with all this junk they're sending home. And so I'm offended when I'm told that I'm not taken seriously because I don't have any credibility in Montgomery, because I don't know what I'm doing, because I don't know how to lobby. I'm a mom. I'm an employee. I am not a lobbyist. I am not a politician. And for those reasons, I should be heard louder than people that are. And so tomorrow, I have taken half a day of vacation, and for the first time since fifth grade, I am going to the state capitol, and I will be there, and they will have to see my face, and they will hopefully hear the word through numbers that we are serious about this as parents. We're not getting paid to fight this lie. We're not getting paid to stay up late on a Tuesday night and talk about it. We're there because we want our kids to have a future. And this is not how they're going to have a future. Everything that we're fighting for in this country are guns, terror, everything will fall apart if the government gets a hold of our kids and teaches them that it's wrong. And that's what they're doing. It's absolutely what they're doing. I just took a government class in college, and it breaks down the Constitution and talks about how the founders intended for the government to help the people. So things like Velcro and cell phones and help them with their ATVs. And if it weren't for the government, we wouldn't be here. They're correcting at every single level, and now they're reaching so far down into my kindergartner that I just, there's nothing more important in our country, in our time, than this right now.
Well, in Oregon, there isn't much happening yet. It's a pretty liberal state, and it's been kind of hard to get traction, but I have been encouraged by just talking with people. I was able to last week talk to some friends about Common Core. They actually asked me because of the stuff I've been posting on Facebook. So, you know, don't discount social media. They do listen to what you're saying. But I was able to lay out for them.
Okay, it looks like we lost Jenny. She's having she's getting dropped for some reason. The system keeps dropping her, so she'll call us back in. But, well, you know, I want to fill in for what she's really getting at. I went to college in Portland, Oregon, and I know what the Great Northwest is like. And, you know, in a lot of places around the country, I can go over here to San Francisco or different places. We can go different places in the country, and you find liberals. But when you get to the Great Northwest, the liberals are their own bird up there. And I'm telling you, they're very, very difficult to talk to about anything. They won't even have a discussion with you. And so I know Jenny up there I know how she feels. I've been up there as a conservative before, and it can sometimes feel like a really, really lonely thing. But there's some great things come out. There's been some great things come out of it. So I believe she's back on. She just popped back in there. So I hand it back to her. Jenny.
I apologize. Yeah, we have a group called Stop Common Core in Oregon on Facebook. And I'm also a member of Parents and Educators Against Common Core Standards on Facebook as well. And that has been really encouraging. Both of those groups have been very encouraging. There's a lot of great people that are fighting against Common Core, even in my state. We may be a small number, but I'm convinced that our passion and our love for our kids is going to win in the end, and that we'll be able to bring this to the attention of our legislators and the school boards. I have several members, candidates for school board members in Oregon on my group, and I'm encouraged by what I hear from them. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to get the right people elected into key positions so that we can wage an all-out war against Common Core in Oregon.
And go ahead, Kara, run with the rest of it and what's going around you and from there on out, and then we'll go into a little bit different direction after you're done.
Well, I wanted to say one of the ladies that said, I'm sorry, I'm missing names here. I'm so sorry about you had read something that your lobbying skills weren't good, or who was doing that? I'm very interested in that because I think the most powerful thing I've done is take off like my Republican hat and just go in as a parent. Because they hear.
Oh, that was me, Stacy, about me not being a lobbyist. I'm just a mother.
Who said that?
Stacy. This is Stacy. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
Wait, but
who could be more powerful than a mom?
Well, and that is, and I'm going to tell you, that's not from the legislators. That's not from the lawmakers who you're getting that from. That's probably from other lobbyists or someone against it. Because I can tell you, they want to hear. All they hear is talking points from lobbyists and from people that are paid to do that. And when you go in and you're a mom or a dad, I've heard that over and over again. Because I even being around politics, I felt like you at first. I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Just go in there and I'm giving my kids papers. I make copies of my son's schoolwork. And I've gone in and go, look, this is what it is. There's so many different groups that we have fighting this. But they haven't heard from a parent. So I went in there as a parent and just showing the work and going, this is what they're bringing home. And so that's what they want to hear. And another thing is to be easy when you go and you talk to y'all and get some advice here. when you talk to these guys, because they don't know. There are so many things going on, and we have a part-time legislature in Texas, and so they meet every 2 years. There's so much going on. So when I go in and talk to them, like, hey, you know, tell them who I am. I'm sure representing my kids. You know, a C-scope is this bill, and they give them the bill number, and say, look, this is why. This is what they're learning. Give them something to look at. We have to go and educate them because they don't know what's in it, because they are hearing from all of the paid lobbyists and everyone protecting this. And all they're hearing is, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So they don't let anyone tell you that you're not a good lobbyist or that you can't do it. You're an advocate for your children, and you're the best one they have. And you have
that's
to learn and have to hear that.
That's absolutely true. I've actually, for the very first time in my life, sat down with my legislature and handed him my daughter's original test and said, look at this. Look what they're learning. Look what they're teaching them. DDT, just complete misinformation, just ridiculous stuff, and you open their eyes. But then they get back to the Capitol sometimes, and they completely revert back and then stop returning your calls and stop returning your emails. And it's,
well, you know, yeah, but they're, you know, again, they are busy, and they think about all the, and I have to remind myself that just because this is so important to me, they do have so many other, a lot of other things going on, and right after me, there's going to be a constituent going in there with their biggest problem. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, so again, just because it's on our radar and this is it, and you should be, but, you know, there's the gun battle. There, I mean, there's so many other battles going on. And they're just trying, so even if you are talking to someone, one of their staffers, get the legislative, you know, their, the staffer that handles that, because it will get back to them. But keep trying and going in there. And that's why you have to kind of keep on them. Because I can tell you right now, us going in there one time, I am a hound. I am the stalker now at the Capitol. No joke. I am stalking these folks. And you know what? I just grabbed them a book, and it has all of our legislators, and I see what committees they're on, and I get to know who they are, and I get on, you know, Facebook or wherever and find out about them, and then I just wait. I'm just out there hunting for them. And if I see them in the hall, I'll grab them, and I'll talk to them. And I have my papers. I have my stack of papers, and I should get a mom card, and I don't. And I say, look, this is what it is. But I can tell you, I keep doing that because there's lobbyists that are waiting for me to go away, and then they're going to pounce. So it's just a game. It's, you're going to get their attention. You're going to get their attention. It really is, because they're getting all information overload. But when you go in there and you're a parent and you're like, look, I'm just here for my kids. I'm here because I love my kids. I love my country. And this is what's happening. I need you to stand up and protect my kids. I'm doing my job by coming in here. You need to do yours.
Kara, what would you recommend for someone who doesn't live near their state capital? Like, I don't live anywhere near my state capital. It's like an hour and a half away or something like that. So,
well, I know. I do a three-hour drive.
You made it sound like...
I got up at 4 in the morning on Mondays. I'll get up. I'll leave my house about 4 or 5 in the morning so I can get there.
Wow.
And my cousin lives, a family that lives in Austin, and I'll stay with them for a few days, you know, stay with them, and then I drive back. I live, it's like a 3 or 4 hour drive.
Wow.
And I'm taking time off work to do this. Like, I've turned down work because these are my children. And these are my children. This is my country. So, no, this isn't, I don't live down the street from the Capitol. I'm sitting in a Wendy's parking lot right now. Pulled over. This is like grassroots, and you know what? But my kids are worth it. I'm not complaining at all.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you about the blisters on my feet from walking. I don't, you know, it's just they're worth it.
Right.
And they, and I really, and it is, because at the end of the day, honestly, this is it. I'm a Christian, and I have to remind myself that God is bigger than the Texas legislator, and God is bigger than the C-scope.
Right.
So they can't keep me going. You know, and so this, I know this, but I would just suggest that if, you know, but again, not everyone can do that, can drive and go and do that, and I understand that. I would suggest you get online, and I don't know how their websites are. Friend them on Facebook, like them on Facebook, whatever you have. Share the information. It is, whoever said that social media is so powerful. It is very powerful. And I don't get on there enough to thank people and to talk to people, but I've had so many encouraging things. People are sharing things on my Facebook page. Parents, look what this we found. look at this. And I think, and it is. So even doing it that way, passing, spreading the message, encouraging people, reposting, encourage people to call, maybe put up the number, put up links to your legislators for other people to see.
Mm-hmm.
Do that kind of, you can be an activist and you can link and say, look, this person represents you. This is who you need to call. And give them that number. Give them the bill number.
Exactly.
Sometimes they
need
that. So you can do that. You can do that from your home. So you don't have to go to the Capitol necessarily.
You can.
You can be very effective by just posting up a link. This is who you call. This is who represents you. This is the bill number. And making it very simple for people to do something.
That's right. That's what makes this powerful.
Yeah.
You know, we have got the ability to organize. We've got the ability to have some people that just work from home, just doing stuff over social media and the internet. I do a whole – I rarely leave the house. But for the last 2 years, just for months, I'll tell you, her and I have been almost for 2 years now in almost constant contact with each other, doing different things. It gives us a great ability. You know, we got to get these guys to understand urgency. And I'm working on a time when I can go down and talk to a couple of people, and I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them that I know how much money and how much politics is involved in this. And you've got an opportunity right now to show me what you're going to pick. If you're going to pick the people, or if you're going to go back to Washington, if you're going to go back to Sacramento, or you're going to go back to wherever, and you're going to let the people put the pressure on you to not do the right thing. Now, this is blatant. This isn't one of those things we could really debate too much about, and that's why they use a lot of ad hominem on the other side, because they can't debate the facts on this. The facts are huge. There are some bills rolling down the aisle towards our school districts that are humongous, and the parents in the school districts, parents in the counties, the parents in the counties don't know it. There's some huge stuff in this, and We got to put the pressure on them, but I'll tell you, Kara, you're rocking. I knew you were doing some stuff down there. I didn't realize exactly how far in the trenches you are. I know Jennifer Montrose. You had something that you wanted to put in on this.
Hi, I want to say something real quick here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some misinformation that is being put out there about Common Core. There's a couple of things that I want to share. We have a grassroots volunteer. He's the president of the Women Republican Federation. That's Lois Zena. She's the president of the Federation. And there apparently was an article that was put out by editor Joe Kennedy. And in his column on Sunday, March the 7th, he made some misstatements. Common Core does not prepare students well for college. Many education experts document this, including one of the creators of Common Core, Dr. Jason Zimba, whom Mr. Kennedy would like as a fellow liberal. Dr. Zimba states the Common Core defines college readiness as preparation for 2-year community college, not a 4-year college. The state did not develop Common Core standards. Common Core was written by Achieve, Inc., under the auspices of National Governor Association and the Council for Chief State Board School Board Officers. Both are trade associates, and members have no legislative authority to represent states. Both received millions of dollars to support and shield the writing of the Common Core standards from Congress, the public, and the press. While Mr. Kennedy may approve of national standards, I would hope as a newspaper man that he would disapprove of the lack of transparency. Also, Alabama cannot retain its education sovereignty under Common Core. Unlike past education reforms, parents, teachers, boards of education, and or legislatures cannot change the standards for any reason since they are copyrighted by the entity outside Alabama. Nor can states fully control curriculum, assessments, tests, and all the other rest since these must align 100% with Common Core. Yet Mr. Kennedy takes the word of the state superintendent, Tommy Weiss, who assured lawmakers at the state board education will retain sovereignty over state education standards without questioning or checking the false claim. Nor did the question the unauthorized diversion of $50 million from Alabama Reading and Math Initiative and most successful academic innovation in Alabama history to pay the Common Core instead. Every legislature we've shown in documentation has admitted that he was unaware of the diversion and that it was not authorized by the legislator. Do we have a state board of education that is out of control and feels it can run roughshod over the legislator? Wouldn't this scandal be more worthy in ink than a personal attack against the grassroots volunteers? At the end of his editorial, Mr. Kennedy comments, perhaps sarcastically, that despite the vote by the Senate Committee on the repeal of Common Core, that Zena and friends will keep making noise because that's what they do. That is a public process, and thank goodness many of us are still willing to get involved, despite the risk of being personally attacked, and to speak out to protect our children because that's what they do. Well, we ask the Alabama legislature to dare to defend our rights and exercise their duty under the Alabama Constitution as our last line of defense to protect our children from nationalized education, dictated entities outside of Alabama, because that's what they are supposed to do.
I am telling you that what we have going on in this nation, we've got to stop this. If you look on Twitter, Stop Common Core is trending right now. We're asking everyone to get in their coffee shop, go to their PTO meetings, get behind the scenes, because we know that a lot of these teachers can't talk about it because they'll lose their jobs.
Right.
The School Board of Education won't talk about it because they have been sworn to secrecy. You know, and then on the other issue is we've got to get to the parents. We've got to get in our neighborhoods, and we've got to talk in our churches when we're amongst, you know, our social gatherings, and we've got to talk about this stuff and let people know. Yeah. It's going to take one parent talking to another parent and saying, look, you know, this is not what I remember growing up in school like. This is not the way that I was taught. You know, if we allow Common Core to become in place in all the states, we're going to lose what our Constitution stands for. The history that I was taught back when Schoolhouse Rock was on, on television in the Saturday mornings, we're going to lose the value of what our Constitution stands for. Our kids are going to grow up, and they're not going to know the history of America. We've got to do these things to protect our rights, and we cannot let government take control. We see what happens when government take control back in World War II. We saw what happened in Hitler's era. We know that the powers that control at the top of the unions, that they don't want to tell you what their real agenda is, and neither does anybody with Common Core or Agenda 21. And it's going to take us.
Exactly.
It's going to take us as parents, grandparents, you know, and even if you don't have children, just remember that one day, all of this is going to eventually affect everyone. And we've
right.
got to stop this. Common Core must be stopped yesterday.
That's right. Amen, Jennifer. You know, wow, that was I'm glad you've already posted me that link to that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I'm talking about. We have got to use that kind of language. We got to be very serious about it. We can't be going in and talking to these guys and saying, listen, we got – and this is why I really like your attitude into this, Kara, because, boy, you know, Herman Cain is supposed to be the brother from a different mother. Kara, I think I just found my sister from a different mother. You talk like I do. I'm not afraid to tell it like it is. Sometimes
right.
you have to – sometimes you have to tear down in order to build back up.
Right.
It's just a fact of life. And political correctness has taught us to not do that. This is about our parental sovereignty. This is
right.
serious. And the more we give a few people at the top control, the less control we have at the bottom, we the people. This is huge. And if we let them get away with this, than my nieces, that when they're going to raising children, it's going to be a terrible place to raise children because the government's going to tell you how you have to raise them, and you won't be able to raise them properly. And I guarantee you, you won't be able to tell them that there is a God. And this is the fight we're in. And this is the first step. And these guys have got to start understanding the big picture of this. And wow, Jennifer, exactly, wow, exactly in that post that you read. And then your comments afterwards, you know, you're a good friend, a close friend, and you know how I feel about you. And boy, you rock. You rock. And Alabama's rocking. And Stacy is helping down there. I want to tell our listeners one more time, if you're not paying attention to what's going on in Alabama, on a lot of issues, Alabama's rocking, and that's why they are. They're down there telling it like it is, and that's what we've got to get to. And I want to send it around again, you know, for talking about solutions. We have to, and Jennifer Montrose mentioned this today, it's not enough to say that doesn't work. We've got to find solutions that we can point to. The big solution in the House is the greatness of this country was built in a one-room schoolhouse with pencils, papers, slate maybe, and chalk. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, we went through a progress of having more books in the classroom, but you go too much further beyond that, and they didn't even have a lot of that. And we made a great country on it because we taught our kids how to read. We taught our kids math. We taught them the basics. We also put in a lot of, you know, treat each other right. You didn't find in the one-room schoolhouse the concept of everybody can't say anything because it might offend somebody else. We had the concept of when somebody got their feelings hurt, we said, you know, that is no good. That is really no good. But you know what? You're going to have that happen all the way through life. And I have to teach you how to jump over that hurdle. Instead, we've got a system, and this is what Common Core wants to do. Common Core wants to take the hurdle out. They want to remove it. They don't want anybody to ever be made fun of. And I don't like it when people are made fun of, but you know what? That's going to be a part of the adult life when they get out into it. And you can't sanitize everything, and that's what they're trying to do with this. And I think it's a great message. I want to pass it around. What are some of the solutions in our mind? Let's take this, you know, when I was a young kid learning how to write, the one thing I remember from a teacher that impressed upon me, she brainstormed. And she wrote a word up on the chalkboard, and she put a big circle around it. And she said, let's just discuss this word. And then as we started saying things about the word, she started writing words around it. And then she made clusters, and she sat down and explained that's how you plan out your thought process when you want to sit down and write something. And I still use that today. And I want us to do that with Common Core. We're not really sitting down with a pen and a piece of paper or writing something, but this is a blog. This is a blog. People are going to listen to it all the way down in timeline form. Let's put some ideas on the table. I know there's some ideas that are already out there. I'm not a big Ron Paul fan on foreign policy. I think he's pretty smart on economics. But he's putting together curriculum. And I trust it to be close to the Constitution, that's for sure. So it's something we need to look at. Kara, what ideas have you seen? What ideas have you had? How do you think we need to progress further as we fight this fight? I'll pass it on to you, and then I'll just let you say, and then I'll pass it on to Jenny. And Jenny Gallegos, you go ahead and then pass it on to Stacy, and Stacy to Jennifer, and then I'll bring it all back together on the other end. Kara, it's all yours.
Well, thank you. I think I'm not sure about that. The Ron Paul curriculum. I haven't heard anything about that. There are other. There's tons of other different curriculums out there, and that are like pro. For me, again, I'm also going to it on a oil and gas. We have this pro global warming thing going on, and where it's more like pro industry. I think we need to put it back to. I think we need to put our classrooms back to our teachers, and let them come up with the curriculum. But there has to be a safety net of where this comes in and who oversees it. We do have a State Board of Education. We have a process. We have PEAKS. We have the standards down in Texas. I like the standards. I like the PEAKS. We have the most pro-American PEAKS out there, where we're a constitutional republic. You have to learn about American exceptionalism. It's very, we're going to be debating the science coming back up. And when we talk about a local level, a local control, I'm going to bring this up because you had, you said that we need to get back to local control, leave that local control. Well, local control, by definition, is when those are talking, those are sound bites and talking points from a superintendent's point of view. Local control for them isn't what we think local control should be. So we have to be very careful when they say, yeah, we want local control. No, they want local control and keep parents out. So it's not the same thing. I don't know. I honestly don't know the solution to this. I'm so busy trying to fight this problem right now, and there are great people all around that are coming up with solutions and bringing solutions, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to pretend to know the solution other than let's get it out. And what did we do before? We can let teachers come up with the curriculum. Whatever comes down, and it's okay by the State Board of Education. I think that we need to have more parents involved to sit on these committees to look at these lessons that are coming down. And I think we need fair and balance. We need both sides. If you want to put in there, there's a theory of global warming, fine. But also put in there how many scientists are against it. So I don't have just one big solution for this. But I would love to hear everyone else's because I need to take these back. Whatever y'all put out there, I need to hear. So I'd love to hear from the other ladies and y'all's solutions.
Well, from a homeschooling point of view, there is the educationalfreedomcoalition.org where they have created an exhaustive list of curriculum providers who are not aligned as well as those who are co-related because some of their materials might align with the standards. And then there is also a list of explicitly aligned curriculum providers in. That's been very helpful for me because I found out recently that a lot of my curriculum that I was using with my kids has now aligned with Common Core. So I'm looking through the list, deciding what I'm going to be using. And I think that parental involvement is key in all of this, that we have to get back into our position of deciding what's best for our kids rather than letting the government decide for us. The government does not have their best interests at heart, and as parents, we do. We are invested in them. We want to see them succeed, and we want them to succeed beyond just being a mindless robot.
All right.
Stacy, are you ready?
Hey, sorry, I couldn't remember the order. That's my bad. I'm not a teacher. I don't know what the answers are, but I do know that there are very basic ways to teach a kid how to read. I think we should stick with what works. In Alabama, we found a way to do really great things with a reading initiative, and then the state superintendent came in and took money out of it and put it in Common Core, and now my son, 9 months into kindergarten, is finally starting to read, while my daughter was reading about 2 to 3 months into kindergarten under the Alabama Reading Initiative. So we find things that work. I say we keep them. And there are very basic ways to teach math. It's addition, there's pretty much only one way to teach it, unless you're writing.
Right, and you don't need to draw pictures either.
You don't need to draw a picture. And I think, you know, the majority of us are always going to have our fingers. Let's just use them and count if we need to. You know, there are very, very simple things when it comes to education. And if you don't start with the very basics, kids will lose faith and lose hope very quickly, no matter how smart they are, because they get discouraged in themselves.
Right.
Right.
So I think there's no way to do that on a large scale. That has to be done locally, and I'm talking about smaller than state. And I think it's crucial for legislators to have the say on when such a giant change happens. Because what I worry about is, okay, a state goes in and they repeal Common Core and it's gone, yay. And then they turn around and Texas and they have C-scope. And then we're fighting this whole battle again. If we have to fight so hard to get an amendment in our state constitution, why should we not fight to change our entire education system just as hard? And so I kind of feel like we should have some kind of concrete thing there that says none of this is going to be slipped under us again, because I don't want to be fighting this fight again next year. I'm a little bit exhausted. I want to finish it. I want to win it and then go on.
Well, I can tell you right now, I would not mind. I really think, cause, you know, we're talking about curriculum so much, but there are other, again, opening my eyes to bigger things. There are other problems going on in the schools with No Child Left Behind. I wouldn't mind repealing that. This No Child Left Behind, that's just a great name. That who's going to vote against leaving children behind? That has been so destructive in our classrooms. You go to our classrooms, and it's all-inclusive. You're letting kids in classrooms that honestly should not be in the classroom with just your average kids. You know, they do have some severe learning difficulties. We also have kids that will bang their heads on the wall. And so you have an aide sitting with them to keep them from hurting another child. But no, you need to put them in the mainstream, because everyone needs to be in the mainstream and everyone has to learn and everyone has to be in the same class. This is No Child Left Behind. That's a big problem, at least in my school and other schools in Texas. It's a very big problem, because when you have kids in there with these really severe, like, emotional problems, and they don't want to learn and they're pitching fits and they're dangerous, we do have a problem with this. But federal law says they have to be in there. So I think there's a problem there. It's a distraction for the other kids, and it's not safe. And then you have kids, you know, unfortunately, bless their hearts, they're not going to get it. We have kids that are handicapped, but they're in a mainstream classroom. But what about all the other kids? Now, I do like it because it does teach tolerance and, you know, being kind to others, but it does slow the rest of the kids down. It just does, and it is what it is. And we need to do something about that as well. But I think that when we're trying to group everyone in and cater to everyone, because we don't want to leave any child behind, well, you're going to have everyone behind. So I think that's a big problem there. Another thing is, we don't have field day. I don't know about y'all, but I can remember having field day and you would run and get ribbons if you won races. You would win a race and you would – well, now it's just everyone's going to play and do hula hoops and you're not going to compete. There's no competition in schools anymore. But these are the things that teach us that we learn these coping mechanisms and these life skills with competition. And you can – if you don't win – I mean – you take that out of the classrooms, which they are, which is why you have all this group work together. You have groups, so there's no competition. You're all doing it as one, and we're doing it together, and you're your brother's keeper. Well, that's just hogwash. That's ridiculous. We need to get that. We need to get competition back in the classroom. And that, why would you work hard if you don't get a reward? That's a dog's even want a reward for sitting or for rolling over. So,
let me break down that field day. That's a treat, I guess, from time to time. At least we could at least give them a treat from time to time, you would think. I was going to say about field day, it's almost as if they're doing the opposite, I've found, because not only do they not have competition, but they're giving everybody gets a trophy thing. My son and I were at a field day type thing back in October, and they would go play the games, and whether you won or lost, you'd get a piece of candy. And after about two or three games, he's in kindergarten, so it was his very first time, and it was all really cool to him. He looked at me and goes, "Why do I get a piece of candy if I don't win?" And I just looked at him, and I had no idea how to answer it. So it's not just that competition's not there. It's like opposite peach of
competition. It's bad. I remember one field day a couple of years ago, field day. I was out there and I thought I was going to ask the PE coach, why don't y'all have competition? Why aren't there races? And she said, and I kid you not, she said, "We just don't want anyone to get their feelings hurt. We don't want that. We don't want tears. And at that time, when she said that, there were kids racing from one station to the other station, racing to get there. And one kid lost and was crying. I'm like, okay, I got you. That makes perfect sense.
And then there was a kid jumping up and down, yelling, "I won! I won! I won!"
As they're racing to the next station, and it's not part of the test. So kids want to compete. It's in us. I think it's just a part of who we are. It's like the best of the best, and you want to be one who wins. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's perfectly okay.
And then also, if you're not teaching your kids how to compete, you can't possibly teach them how to lose. So when they get out in life and they're fighting for a job or they're fighting for their family and they fall short, they have no idea how to get up and keep going. They are expected to just keep being given things, and they've never been taught sometimes we lose. Life's not fair.
Exactly. Just like, you know, I'll play, and as parents, we do this anyways. We incorporate it in just our lives, and I know with my sons, you know, we play games. We play a lot of family games, and, you know, after they get past that age where you're not letting them win because they're cute and they're small, then it's, you know what, no, I'm going to beat you, and I'm very competitive. So they know Mama's not going to let them win, but, you know, it's okay. How are you going to lose? Are you going to lose gracefully, or are you going to stomp off and pitch a fit? It's teaching our children, no, you don't behave that way when you lose. No, you're not going to punch your brother. That's not how we act. And we're teaching, we're giving in that. Well, what about the kids that don't have that? And unfortunately, a lot of times, a lot of kids learn like their social behavior at school and how to interact with other people. And teachers, for a long time, and I think it's okay as well, gives them that, kind of gives them that guidance. No, you know, we're not going to act this way. This is what happens. You don't. It's okay to lose. Let's congratulate the winner. Because, yes, we get out in the real world, but we see the result of this in the real world, a bunch of just whiny, entitled brats coming up. And it's because they're told. What?
I'm going to tell you, you guys just found the solution. And Jennifer will back me up on this. I've been saying this exact same thing for a long time. When we get the American people, when we get that message that you guys just said, when we get that back to the American people, they're going to understand why this is dangerous. And we haven't. We haven't. You know, I believe that those of us gathered here do. But as a concept, the most basic of concepts, is jumping over the hurdles in life.
Right.
You know, life is all about how we jump over the hurdles. Do we cry in front of the hurdle? Do we jump over the hurdle? If we fall down on the other side, do we stop jumping hurdles? And you can apply that to anything we do in life. And we're not teaching our young people that as a whole in this country. That's the school systems have very purposely left that out. If you take away the hurdle, you end up with a weak person on the other end. And, you know, when you lay it out in those terms to the American people and they start to really, really understand the concept that the other side has of sanitizing everything for us, that's wherein lies the problem with their system that they're going down. We can never sanitize everything. All we can do is strengthen freedom and liberty. And I just have to – you guys just rocked. That last segment right there, that's the crux of this show. That's been the crux of my message for a long time on Blog Talk Radio, is jumping those hurdles, whether it be a campaign or whether it be fighting ERA. You know, Phyllis Schlafly was right in the middle of that, and ERA was winning. They had states that had already passed it as a majority, and we beat it back. I wasn't there to help. I was a very little boy at the time, but we beat it back, and we won it. And part of the reason why they won it was they got to the crux of the issue, and they said, this is what this system is going to create if you do it, because we know this about man. We know this about man, and you guys just rocked. I want to pass it on over. I cut off before we got to Jennifer Montrose, but I want to send it to Jennifer, and then we'll start to wrap up the show.
Jennifer? Uh-oh, we've dropped her.
Oh, she had to put her kids
I'm
to
here.
Bed.
I was on.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
I'm
here.
There
you go, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Wonderful. I just want to say, if you have a Twitter account, you can find the hashtag StopCommonCore. Also, go to your coffee shops, go to your PTO meetings, talk to other parents. And it sometimes it's good to talk to these people off school grounds. If you can catch them, if you go attend church with some of your friends, if you have neighbors in the neighborhood, but we need to get the word out. It's going to take going door to door. It's going to take putting together special meetings. I know we were talking the other day how it would be so impactful if we could get some people willing to come. If you've got your women friends, you know, the husband is at work and you have time for lunch while the kids are at school, go meet somewhere at a coffee shop. Go for lunch and talk about these issues and compare notes and talk about the facts and share this and let this go viral in your communities. And when it comes time to vote this stuff, have phone numbers of all the legislator people that you need to call and contact and have teams set up to make these phone calls and report back to your friends and let them know that this is the results that we're getting. Get emails and send them out to your friends. Have them call your legislator. This is a must. We cannot let government take over our children's education. We cannot do that. We as parents know what's best for our kids, and we need to have that right to exercise our constitutional amendment rights to have control over that and not the government. It's smaller government that we need to have. Big government doesn't do anything but control, and we know that that is what has happened. You can see it time and time again if you look back in history. So please, the time is now. Stop Common Core now.
Amen, Jennifer. You know, great show, great discussion. I really, over the last couple of years, my view of Blog Talk Radio has really changed a lot. I have, over the last couple of years, been able to see the networking value in it. Again, it's basically a blog. It's a blog that we talk. I hate to type. I have a hard time typing. I type three steps forward and two steps back. I graduated in the late 80s, and at school, they were telling us, basically, that computers, in a few years, we were going to be talking to them, and we wouldn't need a keyboard. And I didn't even contemplate taking typing. And I can hunt and peck pretty fast, but I notice as I get older, I make more mistakes, but I can blog talk. And we can talk, and we can have a discussion. Not only can I do a blog, I can pull discussion into it and put it together, and we can come up with what we've done tonight, which is huge. We basically had the discussion that people need to understand in order to understand why Common Core is dangerous, why it will be destructive towards our nation instead of productive towards our nation. You know, if I thought for 5 seconds, that a system like this, or even at the curriculum, let me tell you, if the curriculum in Common Core were perfect, if it were perfect, it still wouldn't matter, because the system itself is designed very fully that the people don't have any control if all of a sudden the curriculum's not perfect anymore. And you have to unite as a huge front to get the curriculum changed, because over time they put it to be whatever they want. So, you know, when they start talking about, well, it does this and it does that, that's always my answer, and that lays it all out. There's no discussion after that. There's no discussion after that, because I don't care if the curriculum is perfect. The system is designed to give the top very, very much control and the bottom very, very little control, and that is a bad system.
And boy, you guys just rocked. You know, Stacy and Jennifer, you guys down there in Alabama are having so much fun. And we're working on a move, taking my sister and taking her three girls to Texas this summer. And I'm going to be closer down there, and I'm going to come to Alabama and see what's going on down there. Because for a long time now, I've watched Alabama have activity after activity after activity after activity. They just had the tax day rally. And, you know, you don't always have to have huge, big old numbers like you see at the mall in Washington, D.C. in a state function. But boy, I know that some great networking went on alongside with all that went on down there. And the moms and the parents and the teachers and the dads and the aunts and the uncles and the grandparents are active down in Alabama. And I want to just thank you for that. Cara, you are awesome. I've watched your posts, and I've read blogs, I've read articles and so on and so forth, and kept up with what's going on. And I really knew over the last 2 weeks, I've learned that you were really, really active. You weren't just a mom that just happened to check the homework, because you do that and got it out there, and all of a sudden now you're running down and you're an activist. You've done this for a long time. And as the show has progressed tonight, I've learned even more. And I respect that highly. I highly respect that. When you're in the trenches, it's not easy. It is not easy. And it's a lot of work. And it's hard, but you're doing it for the right reason. If you listen back to my blog talk for the last 2 years, you will never, ever hear a show anywhere that I do not mention that I do this for the future of my three nieces. They're my life. And that's what this is all about. And you're setting a great example for the conservative movement and the liberal movement, too. You know, there's reasons on both sides to really hate this.
I'm going to tell you now, liberals have been great. Democrats have been wonderful.
I know it.
Sorry, but in the legislature, in the Texas legislature, they've helped with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, and I know that the New York Teachers Union does not like Common Core at all. And there is reasons on the other side. And you know what? When I'm talking to a real far-left person, here's what I'm saying, Adam. Okay, so right now you got your curriculum. What about in 200 years when we get a hold of it? Is that what you want?
Right.
You know, that stops a lot too, because it's not about the curriculum. The curriculum itself, they've already proven to be bad too. But the argument, when we pull it out of their debate, and they can't go anywhere with it, and just. Great, great discussion. I want to pass it around for final remarks. Just close out with anything else. Cara, if you'll, again, give any Facebook or links that we need to know, anything to know, your Twitter, so on and so forth, and then we'll pass it on. Jenny had to go to bed. Blog Talk's wonderful because we can go for an hour, we can go for two, we can go for three. We can't go past three. But sometimes we do, and the conversation goes that direction, and it's great when we do. But Stacy's here, and Jennifer's still here. So, Cara, take it away, and then we'll just pass it around the room, and we'll play the closing music.
All right. Well, I want to thank you again for having me on. This has been fun. I have never done this before, and I enjoyed it. So thank you. Thank you for helping get the message out there. I am on Twitter. I'm not on there a lot, but it's at KaraSands4, the number 4. And I'm on Facebook, obviously, a lot. I'm not as much lately because I've been down to everything at the Capitol and working on this, so I just forget to get on Facebook. But anyways, Americans for Prosperity, they've done a great job. Look them up, and Americans for Prosperity in Texas, they've really been fighting this as well. We have some great legislators that have been really fighting this, and Dan Patrick. Then we have State Rep Steve Toth is on this. It's his bill. We have Chairman Todd Hunter is now getting on board with this. We have State Rep Harvey Hildebrand is on board. We just have some great, strong people that are, once they see what's in it and once they see the lessons, they're like, okay, yeah, we're getting this. I was to fight this in Texas, Just call your state reps. Call the legislature. Call senators. Ask them. Well, Senate's already passed it. Ask them to support Senator Patrick and Steve Toth's bill to get C-SCOPE out of the TEA and put it under the State Board of Education. Because this is taking time to build that, and it's not going to happen overnight. And that's why I want people to understand that this is just the first step of getting back our education system and protecting our kids. We have a long ways to go doing this, so I hope that people will stick with it because this is so important. But other than that, just, keep praying. But parents, go through your kids' work. See what they're learning. Talk to their teachers. Go to school board meetings, because you can also take it out at a local level at your school board meetings. Get other parents involved. Go to these school board meetings. Contact the superintendents and ask the school board members to put on the agenda with the renewal of C-SCOPE to vote against it. Lobby them. If you can't go to the state, to the Capitol, do it locally. Lobby your school board members and ask them when C-SCOPE, or I don't know if y'all do Common Core, if that comes up. That's not local, is it, Common Core?
It is, and my children are in a city school instead of a county school, and it was voted on and adopted by our city school board.
Oh, they can repeal that, but they can also, so you can also lobby your local school boards, because they can put that back on the agenda, and they also comes up for renewal in Texas and all these other school districts. So if you can't get to the Capitol, do it locally. And do it the same way that I would do it. Go up to these meetings, call them. They're elected. And find people to run against them. If they're not going to do what they're, But my suggestion is don't go after these people. I really just don't. I have a kind of a problem when, people go up there and they just demand everything. And we demand it. A lot of these legislators, they don't know what's going on. Because like I said before, they have so many other things happening and so many other bills that until I went up and showed them actual work, they had no idea. So give them a chance to do the right thing. Give them the opportunity to do the right thing, because we have to educate them. But I can say that for the most part, about 90% of everyone that I've shown this to, they've been, wow, and they're on board. Get rid of it, and I know it's bad. So it's just going and taking the time talking to them. But I am very proud of our Texas Senate, and I know that our Texas House is going to follow suit and do the same thing. But it just takes time. That's it.
I'm guessing I'm next. I'm going to try not to forget the line up again. I don't have a whole lot of summary or final statement this time, because I think tonight was a really good discussion. I would, though, ask for prayer, because those of us who love Christ and know Him know that He is bigger than any of us, than any of this. And as long as we're looking to Him to protect us and to guide us and to, as long as we're speaking His words, the correct outcome is going to happen. And I have a lot of hope for tomorrow in Alabama and what happens in the Senate committee. And if you guys could pray maybe just to give those that are getting pressure from the unions and the money, just give them the courage to say no to them and do what's right. I think it's probably really hard for them a lot of times. Because it's go time for Alabama. The session's almost up, and if it's not stopped this session, it's fully implemented next year, and things are really hard to turn around once it's fully implemented. And I'm afraid to see every section of my child's life be Common Core.
Jennifer?
Yes. I just want to say that, reiterate what everybody else has said, get the facts. Don't listen to the hearsay, and be sure to call your legislators. Call your senators. Let them know. Find out what's going on in your state. And you know, the shows on TV will always come and go, but we cannot allow Common Core to stay. It must be repealed. We have to take a stand. We must be loud. And just we got to agitate those people and let them know that we're not going to stand for this. And you've got to catch people and let them know what's really going on. Because the media doesn't want to tell you the truth. The establishment is not going to tell you the truth. It's up to us as individuals. It's personal responsibility. It's our responsibility to find the facts, to trace the money trails in every state, and do what you need to do to stop this corruption. We've got to repeal Common Core. No more Common Core.
That's right, exactly. And I think we'll do it. You know, I started saying something a while ago, and I got off on a tangent. Phyllis Schlafly walked through the defeat of ERA. And we can do the same thing with Common Core. But we got to get out and really, really, really get to the people. I've been referring back to a movie, Kara, and I want to do that again as we close out. Kara, did you ever see the movie Newsies, the Disney musical?
No, I have not, no.
Okay.
You do.
Okay. It's based on a true story, and it takes place at the turn of the last century. And William Randolph Hearst and Pulitzer operate the news there in New York City. And the newsboys, what they do is they go and they buy a stack of papers from the newspaper, and then they resell them for a little bit more, and that's how they made their money. And the newsboys were spreading the newspapers all over the place. And Pulitzer and Hearst got together kind of and decided, well, if they could charge the newsboys a little bit more and wouldn't have to raise advertising dollars, and the newsboys would just have to pay it. And the newsboys, they got together and they unionized. And they stood up to William Randolph Hearst and Pulitzer. And it's a true story. Disney turned it into a musical a decade ago, I guess, or maybe even 15 years ago maybe. And I believe they took it to live to Broadway after that. But the story is incredible. And how they won the battle was this. They went down into the basement of William Randolph Hearst's building, and they got out his old printing press, and they printed their own paper. And they went out, and they passed out the news right around him. They undercut the mainstream media, a bunch of boys between 12, 14, 16, 20, it's an incredible story, but it's an old story. It's not a new one. That has happened from time to time in history. What it's called is it's called you got to get the message back out to the people. Ron Paul used this, and again, I was never a Ron Paul fan. I think he's got some real brilliant ideas, and I think he's really, really a crackpot on other. And I'm not afraid to say it. But let me tell you. When it came to Iowa in the election, he got the word out to just about everybody in Iowa. They didn't accept it as well as he thought they would, but he direct mailed, and covered almost every single house in Iowa before that. And I don't believe that his message was one that would catch. I think it's two-sided. But I do believe that the method that he used was absolutely incredible. And it's one that we've got to do. We've got to get to the parents in Springville. We got to get to the parents in Mobile. We got to get to the parents in these different places. When we interviewed Orlene Curler, we discussed the fact that 95% of the country at the time had no clue about Common Core. I don't know what it is now. I know a whole lot more people know about it now than did back then. And we can't change that 95%. We can't change it. But I can change almost 100% of the parents in my little tiny community. We get into the big cities, it's a little bit more difficult. But I can make sure a whole lot of parents here get the information in their hands And I'm working on that. I'm going to put it all together, though, and they're all going to get it at exactly the same time. And it's going to be strong, it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be well-worded. And then we're going to move to Texas. But let me tell you, I think that when we talk about all the solutions, the message was there tonight. What we've got to get back, we got to get back to teaching some basics. The American people don't understand why we do what we do. You know, there's just different. We know certain things about man, and it's not the same thing as the psychologist is going to tell you. The psychologist makes his money when you're crazy. He don't want to fix you. But there's some basics that we can go back to. And when we get that message back out to the people, it's going to work. But we've got to do that. What I fear is, you know, during the 80s we had such good times, the 90s we got sitting on the couches. And I do fear that the American people are going to get up off their couches and fight you. I do fear that. But I believe we're going to win this battle, and I believe this is part of it. Discussions like we've had tonight. You guys, just absolutely one more time. It's awesome. This is exactly what I envisioned when I wanted to start putting this together. The night we interviewed Orlean, I knew we had to have some kind of a show. And let me tell you, I was talking about brainstorming, and I'll tell you, I think we need a whole network with 7 days a week. I think we need to have each one of the big states and what's going on have a show. So we got to get some more people out there. That's got Blog Talk Radio. Start more of these. We're not afraid of competition. You know, we talked about that, and that goes right back to the hurdles, doesn't it? It goes right back to the hurdles. We're not afraid of competition. We want 100 of these shows going on Blog Talk Radio. So if you know somebody that's got a network, there's a lot of networks out there, and you've got some friends, get together and have a discussion. Kara, I hope you hear. I hope you're back with us at some point.
Thank you. You
did great. You did great. You've got public speaking ability, and it comes across, and you sounded great. You were right on it, and you were a great guest, and that's what we like. And each one of us sit around each week and do this. It's the guests that make it when we can have great discussion and toss it back and forth. So thank you so much, so much.
Thank you, looking forward
to fighting alongside with you. We're going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep on keeping on until we win this. Because we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. I worry about my great nieces and nephews. I'm so proud of my three nieces, and I can't wait to watch them be mothers someday, if that's what they choose to be. But I know that the system that some people would like to see the world stand on really doesn't make being a mother very important. And I think that's sad. So thanks, everybody, for coming on tonight. I know we went a little while. We're going to close it on out. What did we make it up to the time? We made it all the way over, actually, 2 hours. So we did a great time. Again, we're going to close it out with Keep On Keeping On. Thank you so much, D-Rock, for the use of this song. I love the words. It's always been one of my favorites of his collection. And we appreciate it. So thanks, everybody, and you guys have a nice evening.
Okay.
That just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn.